saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This time we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moment. Yeah. Good morning. How are you all doing? Y'all doing all right? Here, Joel, sit right here, bud. All right, we got our bag. Elizabeth brought the bag today, so we're going to see what's in there. There is a prayer box. Very cool. Oh, from Hero Central. There is a book called Growing with Jesus. If I can get it out. There we go. 100 daily devotionals. So do you do this? What day are you on? No. Oh, okay. No. Give me the bag, please. All right. So, well, today we're going to talk about prayer, and we're going to talk about one of the promises Jesus makes when we go to him in prayer, how he hears us, how he answers us. And so I want us to be mindful that when we pray to God, when we pray to Jesus, that he always listens, and he always hears what we want. And the opportunity we have to grow with Jesus is a prayer that he will always answer right away. And he will say, absolutely, I want you to grow. Absolutely, I want you to know who I am more and become a better person and a better follower of me each and every day. So I hope and pray that you guys pray every day and that you spend time with Jesus.
I pray before I go to bed.
Yeah, like we pray before we go to bed. All right, so thank you very much. Who would you like to have the bag? Not Joel. He's had it already quite a few times. So somebody else. Maybe that hasn't had it as much. Meredith? That's your second time? How many times have you had it? One? All right, there you go. You can have it. Oh, how many times have you had it? Well, here you go. All right. All right, so now I want all of you all to stand up with me. All right. And you face and look out that way at all those people out there. Again, today is Safe Sanctuary Sunday, and so we want to be reminded of our congregational pledge. This is typically spoken of during infant baptism, but we will see it's been adapted slightly. So if you would please go to the next page on there. I'll read this part, and if you all will join with me in the bold print. Members of the household of faith, I commend to your love and care these children and youth, whom we recognize as those loved by God. Will you endeavor so to live that these children and youth may grow in the knowledge and love of God through our Savior Jesus Christ? Hold on. Let's help. We will so order our lives after the example of Christ that these children and youth, surrounded by steadfast love, may be established in the faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal. Amen. All right, you all, well, okay. We're going to pray, and I said you all could have an opportunity, wireless mic number 4. Do not touch the mic. All right, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Amen.
I don't want to say amen.
No, all right, come on.
Amen.
It's not on. Go on. Good thing the Spirit intercedes for us, isn't it? All right. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Luke chapter 11, verse 10. Luke 11, 10. This was, again, a favorite scripture passage given to me and one that I'm sure most of us are familiar with. And so I want to read this for us. Luke chapter 11, verse 10. Everyone who asks receives. Whoever seeks finds. To everyone who knocks, the door is opened. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you again for the reading and the hearing of this, your word. We thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for the opportunity we have to be in this place. We ask now that you would be with the words you have given me to speak. May they be your words and not my words. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to comprehend. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. This verse, again, for many, I think, is very familiar. One of the very first sermons I ever preached was on this passage, this very text. I was filling in for a friend of mine. He never asked me to fill in again after that, but I got the one shot to fill in. And this verse, this passage before us, is first and foremost a promise. There are promises that run rampant all through the Bible, and we tend to miss them. There almost seems to be so many that we tend to overlook them. But this passage is first and foremost a promise. Jesus promises that we will receive, that we will find, and that the door will be opened to everyone who asks, seeks, and knocks. Everyone is included in this. All of those who desire to know God more will, if they so desire. There are no restrictions. There are no forms that need to be filled out. You don't need any references. If you ask, seek, and knock, God will give. In chapter 11, Jesus is teaching here about prayer. He's helping his disciples to understand a little bit more what prayer is. And he begins in this chapter, in the first few verses, by sharing with them and teaching them the Lord's Prayer. And we just recited that prayer a few moments ago. And this is at the request of his disciples, wanting to know more. And as he teaches them the Lord's Prayer, he is explaining to them and to us that constant prayer is vital. It is vital that we spend time in prayer with God. And he's also teaching us and hoping to show us that prayer is always answered. Always answered. Now, while this passage offers us such a great promise, and while it seems to fill us with joy, how many of us this morning, if we're honest, can recount moments where we did not receive, where we did not find, and where the door was not just not open, but it seemed to be shut in our face? How many of us have gone to God and it seems as if there was no answer? We've all had those prayers that were answered with a no, or worse, they were answered with deafening silence. And we're left to wonder why. We're left to wonder if God is real. We're left to wonder if he is real. Does he care? How come he's not giving? How come we're not finding him? How come the door does not seem to be open? And we've all gone through this. And I believe this difficulty we have with prayer, with communicating with God, stems from some false assumptions that we have about prayer. And we need to identify and address these assumptions so that we understand what prayer is meant to do. Right? God is not some genie in a bottle where we get wishes. God is not a vending machine where we type in our prayers and boom, we get what we want. And we all know this, but it still doesn't make it any easier, does it? This passage that we have before us, while he's talking about prayer, that's not really the main concern that Jesus is trying to pass along. This passage deals primarily with salvation. It deals primarily with growing our relationship with God. He is not as concerned with our earthly petitions as we tend to be, and certainly not in this passage. Jesus' primary concern is our relationship with God, not our wish list. Anyone have a wish list? I've got one on Amazon. I've got one at my mom's house. I've got one with Abby. I got a lot of wishes, right? Not a wish list. Those who ask, those who seek, those who knock, in order to know God, in order to be with God, in order to get a better understanding of who God is, will always receive, will always find, and we'll always have the door open. And this isn't some tiny door. This is a massive door that will be opened to us. The prayer to know God better, the time spent with God, is always answered in the affirmative. And it is always answered immediately. It's actually answered before we even ask it, because God desperately desires to be with us, to hear from us, to be in communication and community and communion with us. The word for receive in this passage is translated, of course, from a Greek word, and this word in the Greek is always used in the New Testament in reference to salvation. Every time this word shows up, it's talking about us receiving salvation from God through Jesus Christ. And so when he says those who ask will receive, he's specifically speaking about those who ask for salvation. And of course, we know God is always going to answer that with a yes, a resounding yes. Receiving salvation, having the Holy Spirit poured out upon us, is what distinguishes us from the rest of the world. It's what makes us Christian. It's what gives us identity and purpose. And he is always ready and willing to give us identity and purpose. This promise is meant to guide us in our search for God as we continue to seek after God. In our desire to find meaning and purpose in life, what we're really searching for is the Father. How many of us want to know what life's all about? How many of us want to know what's the purpose? What's the point? What is it that gives life meaning? The answer is found in the Father's love, because that is what it is. It is a search for the Father. Jesus has come so that we might know the Father, so that we might understand who the Father is, so that we might have a better idea of what the Father's love looks like. And we enter the Father's presence only through the saving work of Jesus Christ, his life, death, resurrection, and ascension. There are an infinite number of ways to Jesus, but there is only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus. He is that receiving that we've asked for. He is the finding that we have sought. He is the one who opens that door that we knock on as we seek to know more about who we are and what all of this is about. And the Holy Spirit and his presence with us guides us and leads us. And again, we receive that at salvation. We find that when we are searching. This passage is meant to remind us above all that we can be with God. It does not matter who we are. It does not matter what we have done. God wants to be with us, and he is here. He is present. He is calling to us, to you, even now. While this passage primarily deals with salvation, we cannot overlook the petitionary aspects of this promise also. We have to address that because there is petition being done here. There is someone who is asking, searching, and knocking so that we may receive other things as well. And let us be mindful this morning that God wants us to ask, to seek, and to knock, and he wants us to continue to do this throughout our lives. He also wants us to intercede for others, as we have just done a few moments ago, to continue to petition him for things, to learn more of who he is, and to come with him with our every wish. The parable just before this indicates that. We have a story of a man who is home with his family, and they've just gone to bed. And his next-door neighbor shows up in the middle of the night, knocks on the door and says, "A friend of mine has come from far away and I have no bread to give him. Will you give me something?" And I can imagine he rolls over in bed and says, "Get out of here. I'm trying to sleep." But because of this man's boldness, because of this neighbor's boldness, the friend gets up, gives him some bread, and sends him on his way. Anyone got neighbors like that? I don't. Not that come in the middle of the night like that. Not yet, anyway. You're thinking about it now, aren't you? I appreciate that. This parable indicates that petition is important, that we go to God for everything, and that he wants us to. And then after this, he says, "Who among you, what father among you, would give a snake to your child if they asked for a fish? If you who are evil, who are not God, know how to give good gifts, how much more so do you think I am ready to give you good gifts?" Petition is important. It's vital. And we can see here that this parable doesn't suggest God's reluctance to give us good gifts. He doesn't tell us to leave when we come to him asking for something. But what it does is it shows us that God is desirous of answering our prayers, but he cannot and he will not answer our prayers lightly or cheaply in response to our half-hearted desires. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, when we go to God in prayer for something, are we praying for his will to be done? Are we praying so earnestly for something because we know that it's something that he wants us to have, or are we just asking him for things we think we want? the shoulder, the responsibility comes on our shoulders to ask him rightly. How many of us go to God only to receive without any desire to know him or his will? How many of us earnestly spend time in prayer simply to be with God because we love him and we want to know more about him? How do you tend to respond when people come to you only asking you for things? God wants us to ask him for things. And from time to time, we have to ask him over and over again because he wants to make sure we're serious about it. Because I guarantee you, there's nothing scarier than God answering your prayer. Because some things we ask for are pretty audacious, aren't they? And we get them and we're like overwhelmed with what in the world do we do now? God wants us to ask over and over again, not to be cruel, but he wants to help us. As we ask God over and over again, as we spend more time in prayer with him, this helps us to truly reflect on what it is we are asking for. And I think after a while, if I'm asking God for something and I don't hear anything, I start to ask myself, is this God's will? Anyone else do the same thing? Well, maybe I need to ask if this is his will first. And when I start asking if it's God's will, that's when I start seeing answers almost immediately. Or at least that's how I experience it. Is this God's will or is it my will? And this continues to help us in our communication with God because we become more honest and more genuine with him. We truly then are seeking to know what he wants and who he is. And the more time we spend with God in prayer, the more we will be shaped by him. The more our petitions, our requests, will slowly evolve and change into God's desire. You see, prayer isn't something we do so that we can inform God of what we need. Prayer is something we do so that we might grow closer to God and become more like him and know what it is his will. How often do we think to ourselves, well, I'll do that if it's God's will. But then we don't pray about it, right? If it's God's will. That tends to be a cop-out answer when I ask somebody if they'll serve or do something. Well, let me pray about it, see if it's God's will. And some people may actually be praying about it, but I'm cynical enough to believe that they're not all doing that. What is his will? And it also begs the question, if we don't know what his will is, are we as close to him as we think we are? There are some things that I know are God's will for me and my family because I've spent time praying about those. And there are other things I have no idea what his will is, and that's on me to find out, to pray, to seek him, to understand what it is he desperately wants. It becomes my responsibility to seek those things and to ask him about that and to spend time with him in that way. Ladies and gentlemen, God never answers no to be cruel. He's never silent just to be cruel. But he does this because he wants us to really think through what it is we ask of him. So that we will really think through what it is he is calling us to. So that we will really think through how the things we petition him for may positively and or negatively affect those around us. May we this morning allow God to guide us rather than to just give to us. May we see him as more than Santa Claus and truly desire to spend time with him. May we know that his silence is more often than not a chance for us to truly reflect on our requests. May we allow God to guide us instead of us trying to guide him. What would it look like if we entered prayer that way? Allowing God to guide us instead of the other way around. Well, I think we'd see more answered prayer. I think we would be more in tune with who he is, and I think we would have a better idea of who he is calling us to be. just a few thoughts of mine this morning on how we may go to God in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for your good purposes, for your love and for your grace. As we stand before you, as we come before you, may we be bold enough to ask what we want, and may we be humble enough to know that what we ask for may not be what you have for us. May we know and remember at the end of the day, you want what's best for us. And you will do just that. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, and we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.